"What's on this afternoon?" he asked tiredly. She didn't look up from the script again. "Well, this is a play. Comes on the wall-to-wall circuit in 10 minutes. They mailed me my part this morning. I sent in some box tops. They write the script with one part missing. It's a new idea. The homemaker, that's me, is the missing part. When it comes time for the missing lines, they all look at me out of the three walls, and I say the lines. Here, for instance, the man says, 'What do you think of this whole idea, Helen?' And he looks at me sitting here at center stage. See, and I say, she paused and ran her finger under a line on the script. "I think that's fine." And then they go on with the play until he says,
"Do you agree to that, Helen?"
And I say, "I sure do." Isn't that fun, Guy? He stood in the hall looking at her. "It's sure fun," she said. "What's the play about?" "I just told you there are these people named Bob and Ruth and Helen." "Oh. It's really fun. It'll be even more fun when we can afford to have the fourth wall installed. How long you figure before we save up and get the fourth wall torn out and a fourth wall TV put in? It's only $2,000.
That's one-third of my yearly pay.
"It's only $2,000, she replied, "and I should think you'd consider me sometimes. If we had a fourth wall, why, it'd just be like this room wasn't ours at all, but all kinds of exotic people's rooms. We could do without a few things." "We're already doing without a few things to pay for the third wall. It was put in only 2 months ago, remember?" "Is that all it was?" She sat looking at him for a long moment. "Well, goodbye, dear." "Goodbye," he said. He stopped and turned around. "Does it have a happy ending?" "I haven't read that far."
He walked over, read the last page, nodded, folded the script, and handed it back to her. He walked out of the house. Into the rain. The rain was thinning away, and the girl was walking in the center of the sidewalk with her head up and the few drops falling on her face. She smiled when she saw Montag.
"Hello."
He said hello and then said, "What are you up to now?"
"I'm still crazy. The rain feels good. I love to walk in it."
"I don't think I'd like that," he said.
"You might if you tried."
"I never have."
She licked her lips. "Rain even tastes good."
"What do you do? Go around trying everything once?" he asked.
"Sometimes twice."
She looked at something in her hand.
"What have you got there?" he said. "I guess it's the last of the dandelions this year. I didn't think I'd find one on the lawn this late. Have you ever heard of rubbing it under your chin? Look."
She touched her chin with the flower, laughing.
"Why?" "If it rubs off, it means I'm in love. Has it?"
He could hardly do anything else but look.
"Well,"
she said, "you're yellow under there."
"Fine. Let's try you now."
"It won't work for me."
"Here."
Before he could move, she had put the dandelion under his chin. He drew back and she laughed.
"Hold still."
She peered under his chin and frowned.
"Well," he said. "What a shame," she said. "You're not in love with anyone."
"Yes, I am."
"Doesn't show."
"I am very much in love." He tried to conjure up a face to fit the words, but there was no face. "I am."
"Oh, please don't look that way."
"It's that dandelion," he said. "You've used it all up on yourself, and that's why it won't work for me."
"Of course, that must be it. Oh, now I've upset you. I can see I have. I'm sorry, really I am."
She touched his elbow.
"No, no," he said quickly. "I'm all right. I've got to be going, so say you forgive me. I don't want you angry with me."
"I'm not angry. Upset, yes."
"I've got to go see my psychiatrist now. They make me go. I make up things to say. I don't know what he thinks of me. He says I'm a regular onion. I keep him busy peeling away the layers."
"I'm inclined to believe you need the psychiatrist," said Montag.
"You don't mean that."
He took a breath and let it out and at last said, "No, I don't mean that. The psychiatrist wants to know why I go out and hike around in the forests and watch the birds and collect butterflies. I'll show you my collection someday."
"Good."
"They want to know what I do with all my time. I tell them sometimes I just sit and think. But I won't tell them what, I've got them running. And sometimes I tell them, I like to put my head back like this and let the rain fall in my mouth. It tastes just like wine. Have you ever tried it?
No, I...
You have forgiven me, haven't you?
Yes.
He thought about it.
Yes, I have. God knows why. You're peculiar, you're aggravating, yet you're easy to forgive.
You say you're 17? Well, next month.
How odd, how strange. And my wife 30, and yet you seem so much older at times. I can't get over it.
You're peculiar yourself, Mr. Montag. Sometimes I even forget you're a fireman. Now, may I make you angry again?
Go ahead.
How did it start? How did you get into it? How did you pick your work? And how did you happen to think to take the job you have? You're not like the others. I've seen a few. I know. When I talk, you look at me. When I said something about the moon, you looked at the moon last night. The others would never do that. The others would walk off and leave me talking or threaten me. No one has time anymore for anyone else. You're one of the few who put up with me. That's why I think it's so strange you're a fireman. It just doesn't seem right for you somehow.
He felt his body divide itself into a hotness and a coldness, a softness and a hardness, a trembling and a not trembling, the two halves grinding one upon the other. You better run off to your appointment, he said. And she ran off and left him standing there in the rain. Only after a long time did he move. And then, very slowly as he walked, he tilted his head back in the rain for just a few moments and opened his mouth.